Hello, welcome to MGP 546. I'm Sheepdog and Kevin and I aren't here this week, so it's just me and Pab. Say hello, Pabby.
Hello.
For a second there, I thought it was silence, and I was like, no, Pab's gone already.
I did leave you a little bit more, because yeah, I was going to say, I listened to one of the recent podcasts that we did, I think it may have been last week, where you just didn't know what to say upon Kev telling you to say hello.
And so you thought I'd just sit in the wind there and just suffer.
Yeah, shall I say something different? Now you've suddenly got in my head.
I got the number wrong before, didn't I? I put us back 200 episodes.
I mean, you nearly got it past me. It was only because I was looking at my notes that I noticed that I caught that. I wouldn't have done otherwise. So,
well, I was reading it off last week's episode file name. I was like, I literally was looking at 545 and still got it wrong. Yeah, I don't know how that happened. It's been a week, Pab. It's been a long one. How are you? You good? You had a good week?
Yeah, we're okay. We're okay. Another week. Overall, not too bad, I don't think. I'm just racking my brain, seeing if anything's been going on.
But like, I've had lots of like random little bits, because obviously Mrs. Sheepdog's still laid up with her bad back, so I've been steering
the
ship.
Recovering.
And that ship is... I mean, if it was a ship, I'd be on the rocks by now, I reckon. I think we'd have hit land by now. I'm not a captain. I mean, I might be. I don't know. Maybe in a real boat situation, I'd be fine. I feel like I've just broken. It's been a busy one. I've had some funny things where, like, my old boss messaged me going, and this is a really random text, right? He goes, this must have been 6:30 at night, and he goes, I don't suppose you've got, like, a photo of me, like a headshot, just to hand. And I looked at his message and I thought, what is he going to think of me when I send him back a headshot in like the next 45 seconds? He's going to think, how on earth did I get that so quickly? But he asked me just as I was finishing up, I was doing something on our work website, and I literally knew we had a headshot of him in the back end in the files from when he used to work with us.
Right.
And I was like, I can literally drag this into WhatsApp and it will be with him. Like, I won't even have to respond. He will have sent the text, he'll have got the picture back. But he's going to think I'm an absolute freak who's just walking around with a picture of him on his phone. So I'm just there like, how do I respond to this? And then I thought, if I leave it, I'm going to forget. So I just sort of ummed and ahed, and then I just replied, if I send you a picture within the next 5 minutes, you're going to think I'm weird. And he just sent back, lol. And then I like waited a few more minutes and sent him it and was like, okay, that looks like I hunted for it rather than literally just having it basically in front of me. Like, I literally just had to click a tab and he was there. I felt like such a weirdo, but it was just the circumstances. It was a fluky, weird circumstances. And I feel like me explaining it on the internet is definitely going to make it not sound weird at all. He appreciated it. I don't know what he's doing. He was applying for something and he needed a headshot. Maybe he's going to become an actor. Maybe he'll be in a film soon or something. But I feel like, how do these things happen? I'm also currently, I've just kicked off what I'm assuming is going to be a war with the local Turkish grill, because I ordered the same thing from them 2 weeks in a row and it's arrived different both times. And neither time was exactly what I was expecting or wanting in that moment. And I'm just like, what is this? So last week I just left it. I was like, I probably boozed it up. This week it's different. So I sent a message and I thought, this is going to be a war, isn't it? The last time I tried to get something resolved, I ended up being an enemy of that. I don't know if I ever talked about it on the podcast. It was a pizza place in that same unit as well. Thinking about it, it could be the same guy. God damn it. He went out of business because he was horrible and everyone was fighting with him. And then this Turkish grill opened up like 6 months later. What if it's still him, Pab? I didn't even consider this.
That sounds feasible.
Oh, no, he's got me. I feel like this is... I watch this anime where it's always the same bloody villain in that every now and again. And he just goes, it was I all along. And, you know, it'll be him. It's just going to appear. I'll send that message and he's probably wetting himself because he's ruined my dinner twice now. Last week, basically, I bought a kebab off him with no bread. No bread, Pab, on a kebab. So this week I bought the same thing.
It came with no bread?
Yeah, it just came in a pot.
Okay, you didn't ask for bread. Okay.
And I was breadless. So this week I added a bread to it and it arrived in a wrap. With bread in a separate bag. And I was like, well, I don't want the bread. If I've got the wrap, make your mind up. So I just messaged him and said, what's going on? Sort it out. But I reckon it's just him. It's just him again. Zilly. I just probably shouldn't say that because when it isn't him, I'm going to get sued. If his halloumi wasn't so good, Pab, I wouldn't order from him. But now I'm nervous that it's probably poisoned. I'm not, again, not slandering the man. It's probably halloumi that he's, I don't know, got out of a bin just to spite me. But yeah, I've started a war there. I think the other ramble for me is you caught me. I saw a message from Pab saying I can record now if you want, Sheepdog. I was literally about to go for a bath, so if we can make this a nice snappy one,
he's going for a bath.
You
saw that probably about 20 minutes before we normally do a podcast.
Yeah,
so.
Pre-podcast bath. It's not a normal thing for me, but do you know how I like say to Kev, oh, I've got this minor thing, and he's like, ah, you're just old, ignore it. And then it always turns out it's an actual thing. And then when I tell him, he goes, oh, I've just been rolling along with that all along. And then he goes and gets a diagnosis of the identical thing 6 months later. And then his life gets substantially better off the back of it. Basically like sleep apnea and all the other ailments he's got. He told me, oh, you know, your knees, your back, your shoulders, everything, that all aches because you're nearly 40. Whoa, 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 whoa. And then I went to the doctors about it and they were like, that doesn't sound right at all. Let's send you for an x-ray. And I thought they'd mock me and be like, ah, yeah, you're just getting old. But their response was horrendous, Pab. They were just like, you are a mess. And I'm achy. I'm God damn it, am I achy. But Kev won't have listened to this week's episode because he never listens. But when I next catch up with him, I'm going to be like, Kev, go and get everything checked. Because, oh my God, am I achy. And they're trying to figure out how to fix it now. But I need to have a bath. I'm desperate for a bath. I've been wanting one all day because I am, oh, I'm a mess, Pab. I was genuinely shocked. I got like 6 texts just being like, we found something in your scan, we'll book an appointment. And I thought they were just eager. And when I opened the actual app, it was just 6 different problems. And I was like, God damn it. Like, you were supposed to find nothing. So I think Mature Gamer Podcast might have to become like Decrepit Gamer Podcast at some point. Because, I mean, when we started out, Mature was just the name of the site we were. That made it sound like porn. I'm going to rephrase that. It was just called the Mature Gamer website or whatever, maturegamer.whatever, run by somebody else. Fell out with them, didn't we? And yeah, we kept the name. But now it's just like, we are actually old and it's becoming decrepit, broken, geriatric gamers. I think we should probably rename to at some point. You're the only one who's not broken, aren't you?
I mean,
you get in there.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like it.
I feel like you're what? Like, you're January, so you're what, a year? You're not even a year, are you? You're like 4 or 5 months younger than me. I'm August 85, you're January 86, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
There we go, see, bang on. So yeah, you're like 5 months younger than me. So you're basically getting a 6-month look ahead every time I fall with something. And annoyingly, Kev doesn't check anything. So I basically have to tell him, that thing you've been doing for 2 years, it was this, Kev, sort it out. And then he goes, oh, okay. And ends up getting something 10 times more expensive that makes him much more healthier than the thing I'm making do with. So this will be fun to watch when he comes out with bionic legs and shoulders and a new spine.
Bionic legs.
You know what he's like. He'll get jetpacks for feet or something. I'll be there going like, look, I've got metal knees. And he'll come out just like flying like the fella from Guardians of the Galaxy with his jetpacks on his feet. You know he'll do it.
I mean, yeah, but then he can't get his gold shoes on, jetpacks.
I mean, he could get gold jet boots, couldn't he? Probably get diamond ones.
Yeah,
even.
I suppose jet boots, maybe, yeah.
I mean, they'd have to be bloody strong, wouldn't they? Could you imagine if he did have them, and then Anna would put them on and go through the ceiling, just fired off into space on the difference between their sizes.
Indeed.
Sorry, I don't know how we got onto Kev wearing jet boots. That's a bit of a tangent, even for me. I mean, other than that, it's been a week of gaming. I've been hammering games. I feel like it's going to be hard to fill an hour with basically Final Fantasy and Guardians of the Galaxy. So I'm hoping you've got lots to bring. I'm assuming you've played the hot new release, PJ Masks, Power Heroes. What is it called? Mighty Alliance.
I didn't even know that was a thing, but I do know.
Kids TV show, yeah, brand new. I know what PJ Masks of Power. Oh, do you? Yeah. I mean, I've only ever seen that, like, from a distance, maybe once. They had a whole thing come out, PS5. You can tell I've got this on my screen. It happened to be on my screen when I was looking at what was coming out in the next few weeks. But it's on all platforms. I'm wondering whether that would be something that my youngest would play or whether he's too old for that. I don't really know what the age range is on that, but... they need to do more games like this, like not necessarily that young, but I could do with, at the moment, Ben's 6 now, and he can't read quick enough to play a full-on game. You know, he can't do a whole, like, plot-based thing without asking us to read all the different missions or whatever. And it's very frustrating to have someone go, what does that say? What does that say? And then, you know, not do any of it. But... Yeah, if there's a Rugrats game coming out in August, that kind of thing seems perfect because that'll just be roaming around doing whatever, wouldn't it, I guess? All ages type stuff. But yeah, I suppose he could play Sonic games and things like that. He does that now and again. He plays the Lego games. But yeah, there just needs to be more of it. He gets very frustrated when it's basically just Disney Dreamlight over and over again for him, which is something I also have been playing this week, actually. Helping him unlock all the Lion King stuff in, I think that came out like maybe 6 months ago, that region. But I'm letting him kind of crack on with his different worlds, and that game's becoming pay to play, isn't it? I think at some point soon, if it isn't already. And
I think did that not happen? Wait,
they announced it, but unless he's secretly bought it without me realizing, which I don't think he has, because the last time he tried to do that,
I feel like did they reverse that?
I hope so.
At some point, I can't remember. However, it did, because it was in early access, wasn't it? And then it looks came like out this, of early access.
This is an expansion pass to get some island.
Right, so there might be. I don't think that's paid to. Well, I suppose it is paid to play, but I mean, if it's free to play to begin with, then the expansion.
Yeah, no, that's more like. Just quickly, it says A Rift in Time, expand your journey to Eternity Isles, where more adventures await. Once an ancient kingdom. I'm not going to read all that. It's like a whole essay. I thought it was going to be a sentence, and then I scrolled down. Yeah, it's like, oh God, that is a whole page. I won't tell Ben about that until it's really long. When they release a package of like 4 of them, I'll get him that as like, oh, look. But yeah, it can be frustrating. What he ends up doing is he asks me to read a few things. Then he asks me to read a few more things. Then he's like, can you help me do this thing I can't get right? And then before I know it, I've spent 3 hours running around doing some mission for him. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what happened this week. I was just catching grubs for Nala to make a meal for Simba or something, and all of this. But I mean, that is a nice chill game. I feel like if you're into Disney stuff and you still haven't played this, it's definitely a hefty time sink. You could easily spend, I think someone said to me, they'd spend sort of 40-50 hours building theirs, and
really?
they'd done all the character missions, but they hadn't yet got all the, because you can kind of like meet Nala and then do their tasks to get Simba to join. They both join your Disney Dreamlight village. But then you can have like a whole long, doing a whole quest with them to get them from friendship level 1 to friendship level 10. And they'll be part of other people's quests and, bringing them daily items and whatever. So there's a whole like load of extra stuff you can do. And some of them open shops in your town or services like Moana catches fish that you can then sell to Goofy, and Goofy runs a shop, and all this stuff. So yeah, it's got a lot of mileage to it. And as I say, a few people have said to me they spent 40-50 plus hours on it. I don't know how long really Ben's putting it now. It feels like he's been playing it forever, but it's a good cozy little game. It's fun. It's not quite your Dondoko Island and Animal Crossing and all of that, because obviously you have to just do missions to get people, but yeah, it's fun. It's been nice. It's been cool. I feel like I've tried to steer him away from playing that by making him watch me play Final Fantasy. That's been, obviously the dominant thing for me all week is just hammering that. Have you got it yet? Have you considered getting it even more?
No, I did see that the Steam Spring Sale is on. I did get a notification saying all these games on your wishlist are on sale, including Final Fantasy VII Remake. How much Ooh. Do you think Final Fantasy VII Remake is, Sheepdog, on Steam with 50% off?
See, I feel like if they were being sensible in that they know people are going to be... Well, it's double-edged, isn't it? If they think loads of people are going to want to buy it to get in on the like catch-up and you know, ahead of Rebirth, then they're probably gouging people and it'll be like £20 or something. But if they were sensible, it would be like a fiver and they'd pack in a load of people. Go on, where are we?
So, for a game that came out in 2020... I mean, Sheepdog, if it was £20, I'd bite their hand off because they want £35 for it, right? Now. That's with 50% off.
Oh, God. I almost said £30, £35, and then I thought, no, that's mad.
even if you say, when did Integrade come out? Because that's the version. That's the version that it is. It's a, whatever it is, the PS5 version, wasn't it? So even if that was 2022, it's a game that's 2 years old.
I'm pretty sure both of these are on PS Plus now, so if you've got that, you can just download.
That's the thing.
But I mean, for the listener as well.
Most people could just play it. I want to say I downloaded it when I had PS Plus, but I never actually played it. But yeah, it's just, it baffles me.
So, one thing that I feel about this, so I said last week, and I am still absolutely loving it. It is just brilliant. And the additions, the changes they've made from the last one, obviously the card game wasn't there before, and that is a major part of this one. Mm-hmm. I was really bad at the card game at first, and I'm still not great at it, but it's definitely made an effort to train you into it. And where I am at the moment, there's this like, I'm at this place called Costa del Sol. It's like a beach, you know, holiday destination. You kind of turn up there in the plot of the old game and in this one. It's just because you're trying to get from A to B, and the ship you end up on stops at this place. So in this new updated version, it's this big holiday resort, and they've got all these games in there and that kind of thing. And one of them is like, instead of you just playing the card game, they've got like, it's like they're puzzles set up where your opponent's already played their cards and you've got to play your cards in the remaining spaces to figure out how you would win, and different cards have different abilities and so forth. And you just have to look at it and try and figure it out. And I think that's very clever that they've made an extra game out of a game they already made. And it's making me better at the game, because the first few, I was like, oh, I get it. I know what to do. And then there was a couple where I had no idea, and now I get it a bit better. So when I'm playing the proper game, it's like, oh, okay, no, I know, I've got strategies now, I know how to do this, this is cool. I feel like they're really trying to make it into a proper detailed depth game. One thing that I keep thinking, that keeps going through my head, I don't know why particularly this time, obviously last week you said, I was thinking of getting it, I was wondering about it, and I think Remake is very, this is the game, here's the story, it's cool, let's play. And it has some sort of Final Fantasy VII jokey bits in it. There are, you know, the original had this whole bit where Cloud had to dress up as a woman to try and get into a brothel to convince the guy to well, I don't think you were planning on convincing the guy, but you can, you know, if basically, you, Cloud, in the story, Cloud needs to get in to make sure Tifa's okay, but if you make him too pretty, he ends up being selected as the woman he wants to spend the evening with. In this game, that sort of story is still there, but that's probably the most like wacky whoa kind of thing of the remake. It's just a bit random, and there's like a dancey bit in there as well. But in this one, it feels like it's just rattling from sort of wacky thing to wacky thing at the moment. And I'm loving it, because to me, it's like, yeah, it's Final Fantasy VII. It's all the characters. It's great humor. It's good fun. There's some bits in it that absolutely blew me away that I was doing in the Junon missions. And I'm enjoying that. I'm finding that very fun. But then I keep thinking to myself, like, if you've got no connection to this at all, I'm wondering what people are going to be coming in and thinking fresh off the bat. Like, my instinct is that a lot of people will be like, you know, this is a bit weird. I guess you've been playing Yakuza, you know, Like a Dragon. So that'd be less odd to you. It'd probably be quite vanilla compared to some of the things that you've been doing.
It sounds similar to what you're saying. I mean, it does help that the Like a Dragon series, like with the previous game, it kind of had like a soft reset sort of thing, in the sense of you play as different. Before, like, the Yakuza games have, I think Yakuza Like a Dragon was the 7th in the series, and the current one that I'm playing now is the 8th. I think the 7th one, you play as a different character, and it's a whole different story, so to speak. So getting on board there, it goes a long way to not feeling as lost.
It's like one of the things in the original story, you're following. So while you're traveling across the world, it's because there's these like guys in black robes who are all just traveling across the world. Like everywhere you go, they're gathering. There's more and more of them, and you're following that as well, because you're trying to track Sephiroth and stuff like that. And in this, it's the same, but they're kind of adding this like being at the holiday resort. There's a beach there. You can go to that beach and just like relax at the beach or whatever. But there'll be like robed guys just standing around in the sand, being like, and everyone's like, "What the hell is this creep doing here?" And it's like really like out of place looking. And it, you know, to me, it was like entertaining or whatever. You know, it is funny, but it's like, I don't know. I'm just thinking that there's a lot of that sort of thing, and you think, I don't know. People will be a bit like, is it serious? Is it not? Which way is it leading? And it's clearly not leaning seriously. But I don't know. Part of me was like, the original didn't have that kind of back and forth. It was very, we're going to be serious now, we're going to be funny now. And it was like, you know. But I mean, I'm, for my taste, I'm loving it. I just thought to myself, what would someone new to it feel? And it'd be intriguing to see what you'd think of it. And I need to find, if anyone listening hasn't played the series before and this is their first interaction with Final Fantasy VII, let me know your thoughts. You know, message me on Twitter at RB6K, because I'm just intrigued. I can imagine there being some people who are really serious and don't really, I'm not in a critical way. I'm not trying to say like people who don't suffer fools and are just really hard. Yeah, I'm not trying to say they're wrong for that, but I can see people who enjoyed it for the story and thought it was a cool game, and then they've gone into it and it's now got this kind of humor to it, maybe feeling like their game's not as, I don't know, cool, I mean, as it was. But to me, I'm like, wow, this is good.
It's a sizable upgrade to Rebirth, isn't it? From everything I've heard and read, is that Remake seemed quite, like, it's not scaled back, but it was smaller in, like, you're in one area sort of thing. You kind of led. You're in corridors. Not in corridors, but you know what I mean? You're very
They're quite
led
lucky
down a corridor.
That, when the original came out, it was like, so I'd never played a game like this before when I first got it, and I remember playing through to, so Final Fantasy VII, you're like, you start up in Avalanche, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna blow up some reactors, we want to destroy Shinra, that's our thing we want to do, that's our like modus operandi, and this is the game. And so I'm like probably 15, 20 hours in at that point, as a like 14-year-old or whatever I was back then, when I played and I've gone up to the top of, you know, the top floor of the Shinra building, and I've had a fight with their boss, and I've ended the story, and then there's a whole chase, and I'm thinking, right, cool, I'm at the end of the game now, this is the end boss, it's quite difficult, let's go, I'm struggling, but I'm doing it. And I thought, I don't know why I thought, I think a mate of mine had lent me disc one, and that's why I thought I'd done it. I think he was still playing it, and he was going to give me discs two and three later. And so I thought I was at the end of the game, basically. And then when I got on the world map, I was like, what the hell? And I remember just being really blown away by the fact there was this whole extra story. And I think I ended up, like, you know, spending sort of a stupid amount of hours on it. It was insane how long it took me to get to the end of that the first time. I managed to do a lot more in a lot less time every other time I played it since, but that time I was stupid. But I think that kind of approach for me is what they did with Remake, was they were like, right, okay, the story in this bit is Avalanche want to destroy Shinra, and it only unfolds at the very sort of end of that when they start to understand more of what's going on, and you learn a bit more about Sephiroth, and he turns up, kind of thing. So I feel like they were given the luxury of being able to say, well, okay, we're gonna, because I mean, again, that game, if you were playing that in sort of proper speed, it's less than 10 hours. Probably even, I can't remember exactly, but it would be definitely less than 10 hours to get out of Midgar. Like I've said before, me and my mates tried to complete this game over a weekend when we were younger, and one guy had basically, we started the Friday evening, and by the Saturday night, he'd finished the whole thing. You know, so 24 hours-ish to do the whole thing. He weren't in Midgar for an entire game, you know. But in this remake, they've gone like, we'll make every sector its own map and we'll put loads of stuff in there. Whereas in Rebirth, it's like, okay, we've got the grassland area, now we've got the Junon area, now we've got the area that I've just turned up in where Costa del Sol is. And they've just gone nuts with that, because I think I said last week that the grassland area, it was like a village, a ranch and a swamp, basically, in the old game.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would just run through that almost as like a... It's just they had to put something there to keep the plot moving forward, to get you to the main meat and potatoes over in Junon. But in this, I spent bloody 10 hours running around doing jobs for people, figuring stuff out, learning about things. And it was just chock. And Junon was just good. Junon took me all week. The boat ride across to the holiday place was a whole like just fun and brilliant thing. I think last time that was... like probably a half an hour, you're on a boat, there's a boss, there's a bit of plot, that's it. This was a whole, like, there was a card game tournament, there was bits and pieces you had to figure out, there was, the plot from before pretty much, and then you rock up and you've got this whole stuff to do, the resort's different, there's so many mini games in the resort, it's ridiculous. I've got old man hands now, I can't, there's a game where you've got to try and shoot targets with points on them, and I can't click my finger fast enough. I may have to get Ollie to do it for me, because you got to get 11,000, 13,000 and 15,000. I wrecked my hand getting like 1250. So I was like 750 short. Annoyingly, I was trying to shoot an 800 point thing and my hand was cramping up and I didn't do it. And I've never to get anywhere near that point again. And I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get over 15,000 if 13,000 is killing me, you know, like ruining my hand. I looked it up to see if I was missing anything, and basically like Reddit was saying like, oh, I got my daughter to do it, I got this to do it, I got that. I asked the kid to do it, basically. That's good though, that's fun. There was a really bizarre one where I've just been riding around on a Segway. Like a little random bit where it sort of said, oh, if you can do 4,000 meters in this Segway, like that's the rank one unlock thing. So I was just riding around Costa del Sol trashing everything with that. But I am loving it. I'd love to know what people who've never played this before are thinking, because I know where it's different and where they've done something clever and where they've done something new. There's a couple of mini games that were in the old one, but nowhere near as good as they are in this one, and that's been really cool. I love how they've explained some of the... I never really thought about it in the old one. Like, they went from A to B, and you just kind of took it for granted that it was what it was. And now I'm playing this one, and I'm like, oh yeah, they should really have explained that better. They got away with just letting that be what it was, whereas this gave us a whole extra layer of just logistics and depth that... Yeah, just I guess games just got away with it back then. I'm loving it, and I'm conscious that, like, for example, I don't even think I'm halfway through this. I don't want to Google it, because I don't want to know particularly where this finishes region wise. But I know I'm like 38 hours in now. I'm gonna write off a little bit of that, because I think I left it for maybe 6 or 7 hours of idling over the time, just by mistake here and there. But I don't know how many hours it's supposed to be or how far off the end I particularly am. And I know that certain characters are in the game that make me think we must go to those places, because like, plot-wise, I know that you have to get to X place to get them, you know. So, yeah, I think I'm quite a way away from any kind of ending. You know, there's like multiple characters I need to still meet and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm also conscious that we need to do podcasts about games. Especially next week when Kev's not here as well. I know we've got a plan. We'll cover for that in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I personally am having a great time, but I'm just conscious. The other thing I've obviously been doing is helping my wife with Guardians of the Galaxy still. She's at a point now where it's too hard. Not too hard. The bosses are getting really difficult, and I can't just dip in and out and immediately do the boss. So today it took me like 9 attempts to do this boss that she'd been struggling on all week. I did it eventually, but I was like, bloody hell, if it's going to be like this every time, it's going to be a real struggle to get to the end. But no, she's absolutely loving it. I'm glad she's keeping to it, because I'm thinking, basically, in fact, listener input again, I need game recommendations for Ben, but I also need a follow-up game from Guardians of the Galaxy that maybe I can chuck to my wife to keep her playing games. I feel like if there's a game that she can be sucked in by that, you know, will keep her going, I could end up with another gamer in the house. That'd be great.
Are you present while this is going on then?
When I'm at work, I'm not. Obviously, I'm in the other room doing work and she's playing it. But I had today and yesterday off, and she was like, will you sit and help me with this boss? And so I was like sat there doing other stuff. And then she kept passing me the controller every time she was stuck. I keep saying to her that she needs to kind of do a lot of them so she can skill up with the game, if that makes sense. You know, like all games, you've just got to figure it out and get good enough to do it, and then you'll be able to do the whole next section because you've got that skill level. But I get it when it's like she's died so many times, she just can't be bothered with it. A few times I've had to show her that, oh, by the way, you've got this new weapon, and this is critical to doing this. You know, and she's like, oh, okay, I missed that. But that's just part of not having gamed loads. It's been quite fun, actually, because she's sofa bound. If I play Final Fantasy, she kind of has to watch, you know. And I keep sort of asking her how aware of any of this stuff she is. Like, I was like, do you know who any of these characters are? Have you ever heard of Final Fantasy, really? Like, other than me banging on about it, do you know these characters? I was like thinking to myself, a lot of people kind of know some of the big characters of the game, or the big events of the game and that kind of thing, but just because they're, you know, everyone's talked about them in gaming, haven't they? But then it's just been interesting to me that she's got like zero gaming like background knowledge at all, really. She'd vaguely know about, she was chuffed one day that she knew more than 5 Pokemon, and she had a kid she was working with who was really into Pokemon, and she was able to just draw random Pokemon that she'd remembered that me and Ollie liked.
Just through osmosis.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many in the house that I was a bit like, oh, you only remembered 15, did you? There's like 20 of them behind me on the shelf. But no. She was saying like, no, like literally know nothing about this, know nothing about this stuff. And, you know, I think she's been interested, because she hasn't really got a choice, she's been captive. She's been mildly interested in it. Go on.
You are subjecting your wife to Final Fantasy. You go, right, come on, Final Fantasy time, let's go. Come on, here we go. You have to watch this now for a bit. Is that how it's working to you, Doug?
I feel like I've been a bit like a child, where she's playing her game and then I'm like, she'll have turned it off or whatever. And I'm like, oh, are you done now? Can I play Final Fantasy for a bit? And she's like, yeah, go on.
I mean, there is ways for you to be playing it without taking the television up.
I mean, I play it when she goes to bed, usually, but I can log in on my phone, can't I, or iPad?
You can stream it to the PC.
That feels dangerous, knowing that. You're right, aren't you?
That would then give her the television. All you've got to do is turn the PlayStation on and go and sit in the other room on the PC and play it over there.
That's a dodgy ground for me, though, Pab. As I mentioned before, my ligaments are wreaking havoc on me. I don't know if I could sit in my chair's like one of the few places that everything doesn't.
I thought you had a sofa in there now.
I do.
Just rotate the monitor.
My TV. I've got a TV in here that's connected to the PC.
But even just, there you go. I don't know what you're complaining at.
I mean, don't let her say that as well.
I'm only saying that just to give Mrs. Sheepdog. She used to come barging and going, not TV time, it's Final Fantasy time. Come on. She's got subjected to this nonsense.
What will probably happen tonight, after we finish the podcast and I've gone and had my bath, I'll come down and I'll watch the end of the last leg with her, and then as it's coming up with the credits, I'll just pick up my controller and shift the TV to PlayStation 5 and then she'll be like, oh, I'm off to bed, and I'm like, oh, are you? Night. So that's how it is. That's how we roll. But no, part of the reason, she did say to me, why don't you play it in the other room? And I said, because that TV's not 4K. And I didn't buy a PlayStation 5 to play it in 1080. It occurred to me after I said that, I don't know if I've turned the settings all up and everything on it.
I bet I'm pretty confident they start the game in performance mode and so whatever graphics mode. I'm fairly certain it's in setting graphics mode, because
it looks like it is. Was. Like, it does look amazing.
16 just, was set at that.
Every time I say it, I'm like, I don't actually remember whether I set anything, but I know that with Spider-Man, I had to go in and turn settings on. But I mean, it looks great either way. If there's another level to it that I need to turn on, then bloody hell, I don't know what that's going to look like. But that's been my excuse so far. It's like, I'm not playing it on this platform to then water it down with a different telly. I've got more excuses lined up, like this TV in here is a plasma, it'll use more electricity. I'm saving the environment by playing it on the other telly because that's got a rating in its energy efficiency. having to run a PC and plasma.
You're going to just send the message into the other room then? You're going in the office room now.
I did offer. I mean, sometimes she'll fire up a tablet and just watch like football or whatever on that. So
there are
options. She's not as captive. But I mean, she's also mildly, vaguely feigning interest. She's not like, oh, this is abhorrent. She sort of asks questions or enjoys the scene or whatever. But it was fascinating to me that she just had zero knowledge of it all. And to me, it's like probably one of the biggest games of my life, you know, and it's one that I said to her one day, I was like, I think I started it up, left the room, come back, and it was just blasting out the bloody theme tune. And I was like, God, I feel like the music from this game, I probably subjected the family to it constantly for the past 20 years in one way or another. Because I mean, I've got there's this guy who did a rap album over the soundtrack, and I listen to that all the time. Not when they're in the car, but like I'll pull up, they'll come home to them and wife will be like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, nothing. Like, because I'm slightly like, this is the nerdiest thing I have in my Spotify. But it's called Black Materia and it is bloody good. If you have Spotify and you like rap, listen to it. It basically just raps the story of Final Fantasy VII, which is out. I think I've said this to you guys, but not on the podcast. His agent once asked if he could come on the show. And I was like, yeah, bloody hell, definitely. I'm a massive, I really like that album. And I feel like I scared them off by being like, I like that album, it's great. And they're like, oh, okay, well, sorry, we're busy. And I thought, really? Well, you asked us. But yeah, they asked me on the show about like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. It was a while back now.
Right.
And I enthusiastically said yes. And then they just like were like, oh, sorry, we can't make it work. And I was just like, wah.
I don't recall that. Interesting. Mm.
But I love it. It's a great album. I feel like he did re-record it when the remake came out. And
Really?
I couldn't decide whether he had... Like, he's improved it quality-wise in terms of sound quality, but, like, I'm used to the old songs, so I was a bit like, oh, it's not what I know, you know. But it's a clever idea. I feel like... I mean, he has done other albums for other games and stuff like that. Mega Ran, his name is. So he started off with Mega Man.
I know who Mega Ran is.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, interesting.
We almost had him on as a guest. He could have been, the fifth member. But no, he, I like that album. It's very good. That is what I played anyway. I managed to fill 40 minutes, Pab. So fill your beats.
Oh, that's what I was gonna say. That's why I was asking if you were often in the room while she was playing Guardians of the Galaxy. Have you played what's the over under on co-op games then?
Oh yeah, that's a really good point. I think the problem with that would be they're just argument simulators, aren't they?
Like, well, yeah, I was gonna say It Takes Two is a great co-op game, but yes, I imagine arguments would ensue because of...
And it's hard because, like, we're good at, like, recognizing, oh, okay, you know, we're getting a bit annoyed or whatever. We're not monstrous about it. But it is one of those things where it's like, if you're trying to enjoy a pastime together, winding each other up or making mistakes or feeling, you know, I'm not very good at, if I'm trying to, so even with Guardians of the Galaxy, if I'm trying to explain what to do, I can be like, press this button and then do this. And then she doesn't do it. And I'm like, press this button and do this. And then I'm really like, I don't want to keep repeating it in case I sound like I'm being antagonistic. And I don't want to demand she does it because it's her game. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, so I struggle really hard to kind of give the advice without coming across as like I'm being critical or mocking, or I don't want the wrong tone to come out, you know?
Yeah.
And I imagine if we were cooperating on a game and I'm like, you need to do this, you need to do that, or vice versa, we'd probably both be like, oh my God, listen.
Yeah.
It only takes one comment like that and it could all, you know, so I tend to just, whenever I play them with the kids, it's like they get really upset all of a sudden. We were trying to do a co-op on Sonic, whatever it is, the most recent one, and both the boys just couldn't hack it. They just found it too overwhelming to be depended on in a boss or whatever. At the moment I feel like I'm not great with that, but it's a good idea. I mean, even if we found something that wasn't necessarily cooperative in terms of you pull this lever while I do this thing, it could just be like how back in the old like Left 4 Dead days where you just roam around together and you weren't really cooperating with each other, you were just there. That might work.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, there's, what is it, It Takes Two, which came out a few years ago, which was great, and then there's the other one that he did, the Joseph Ferris guy. Way Out, is it? They're both co-op games, so...
I think that rings a bell. You just reminded me, really randomly, she started... it wasn't completely unrelated, but she did start Detroit at one point, Detroit Become Human, and I might have to say to her, fire that back up and finish that. That was handy for me to be around him, because obviously she didn't make the mistakes I made, so I was able to live some of the story that I didn't get to see before because my characters died. I might have to see if she'll fancy that again, because I think she'll enjoy that.
Yeah, definitely.
See, I feel like I've talked at you for the best part of three quarters of an hour now. Have you had a busy week? Have you been able to play anything?
Have I had a busy week?
Is the answer no, Pab?
No, not in general. I mean, without me just saying predominantly I play Fortnite, and I'm predominantly a Fortnite player that squeezes games in here and there, which is why it's taken me so long to get anywhere in Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which is, I'm just chipping away. I got to chapter 7 this week. Dondoku Island was chapter 6, by the way. And
I thought it was like a side thing, not a whole chapter, and getting back
to Hawaii and doing other things, like finished chapter 6, and I'm into chapter 7 now. Right. Where we have a changing of the guard, so to speak. I've not even done chapter 7 at this point. I can't remember now. It's been bit of a blur of it this week. I've done more than I usually do, and we have some old friends reappearing, and we have a changing of party members now. We can now do that. I'm trying to be as vague as possible about it. It's just been on the grind with that, because now I got to a point where it was like, now you need to be level 26 and you're gear needs to be this much. And I was like, okay, so we're back onto the grind of it again. And it's just been, it's just really cool. There's a whole new conversations to be had because you got new party members. So now I've been doing that again. Anna mentioned about going on to one of the tourist trolley type things. They're just like little carts that go around the town, and you just kind of do like a tourist thing. You just drive around and sit on the cart, and then you kind of just drives around town, and you get to see all the sights, sort of thing. Now Anna mentioned this the other week when she first started playing it, and said it's one of the strangest like sub stories in the game. And she's right, because you meet
is it like the things they show you on the tour, is that like what makes it weird?
Well, this is the thing, you find an old man who takes pictures of sickles and he gives you a camera and goes, have a go yourself, and then you are playing Pokemon Snap effectively.
Have they just gone through the old Pokemon collection?
The amount of mini games in it is staggering. And once again, I found another mini game there. And now I can go onto these trolleys and get the camera out and just take pictures of sickles doing weird things. And by sickles,
I feel like that doesn't make sense.
By sickles, they mean big buff dudes in speedos wearing masks doing something stupid, like walking around doing handstands or hanging off a balcony or posing next to this couple or something like that, just doing stupid things, and you've got to take pictures, and because you're on the trolley thing, you're on rails, so you're just going round and you take pictures. At the end of your round, you get a rating for it and you get rated on it and get coins based on it, you get your currency for it. And yeah, that's what it is. I was like, wow, I saw the cutscene come up when I got on the trolley. I was like, this is what Anna was on about, this is what it is. I did not expect another mini game to be snuck into it, but it's there. Yeah, it's insane. The things in this game are just bonkers. I've done some stupid things. And
I feel like I had a bit of a roller coaster there where you you were just like, oh, big buff dudes. And I was like, oh, you were like, handstands. Like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. It's obviously not like, it's just like big dudes in speedos just prattling around, and they're classed as sickos.
Yeah, it's like, look at those freaks in their gymnastics.
Yeah, and this is what it is. And but like I say, it's also, that's the other thing, is I learned how many chapters are in this game, and I'm just over halfway through. I'm like, huh? I was thinking maybe 10 chapters, and I'm on 7. No, there's 14 chapters in this game.
Are there 7 more Pokemon styles they could do? It feels like they're not going to be able to get many more of them.
Probably not, because no. Unless they make like some of the Pokemon Stadium mini games from the N64, they're going to start doing that. But I don't know. I continue to, like I say, just chip away. I don't even play it that much. I maybe get an hour at a time, maybe 90 minutes at a time to play. And then obviously, once I've done that time, I'm pretty much ready to get on with Fortnite. So I end up just playing that and then not getting back to it realistically.
How was the new season in that? I suddenly realised
I haven't
got a volley
on it. Was last week when
it was down, wasn't it?
New season, it wasn't it. So that didn't go up until the following. So that went up at something like, I want to say, 3 or 4 a.m. our time, Saturday morning, I think, something like that. Because, like I say, they were trying, there was something not right with it, and they were fixing it, and it needed a lot of time to fix it. New season itself is all right. Not too bad. They used to have like medallions in the game last season for the new chapter medallions, and you'd kill a boss sort of thing, and you'd get a medallion. A medallion would heal like 60% of your shield. It was 50% of your shield if you had one. You got two, it would heal 60%. You heal three, it would heal you 100%. But there's only 5 coins on the map. And they also show your location. They put like they basically pinpoint where these people are on the map. So you know when people are kind of in your vicinity. But now there are, I want to say four, I think there's 4 or 5 medallions on the map. But now they're all God-themed. So you've got you've got a Zeus one, you've got a Artemis one, I want to say, a Hades one, and something. I barely touch them because I don't get involved with them, because they require you to do it's a bit more intense than a boss fight this time. The boss fight, effectively, in the previous season, there was a guy, the boss, and he had two or three guards with him, or whatever it was, and the guards are dead easy to kill. Now it's like it's like kind of like horde mode. There's like two waves of enemies turn. You've got to challenge the boss. Two waves of enemies turn up, and then the boss turns up, and the boss is like considerably harder than the two waves. All while trying to manage not getting killed, because it's a battle royale game. So you got to stop, because as soon as people hear this challenge going on, someone's going to come and third party you and come and take you out, sort of thing. So you've got to manage that as well. So I've just not got involved with it. But they don't charge your shields up like these new battalions don't charge. They give you abilities. So I think the Zeus one makes you run faster in your sprints. There's one that will heal you on like siphon on elimination sort of thing, so you'll get healed on killing people. There's one that'll do. I actually don't know. I don't remember now. It's been a week of me playing it, and I know the coins when I see them, but I don't know what the ability. I can't remember what ability
to
do.
It, so there's,
they've put this change it up a little bit, and there's new guns in it. I'd like some. I don't like others. I'm not a fan of the new shotgun particularly, but the guy I play with does like the shotgun, so it's like, okay, great. So I stick with the auto shotgun because it's fast and just kind of point and shoot sort of thing, rather than me having to be precise with it. The assault rifle, there's new assault rifle, there's the new DMR. I kind of go back and forward in it. I don't like it because it shoots dead slow, but it is effective when you do hit with it. But that's the problem. I'm not effective with these guns. I just spray and pray. So yeah, it seems positive so far. Like I said, it's a new area. There's a whole ancient Greece, is like a Olympus area and a Hades area. So yeah, it's like new bits of the map again, getting used to it all again. And because we had like a set location that we went to, we had a set place that we would go to, just trying to stay out of the way. We don't really just randomly go to places on the map. We go to a set place that we know that is relatively safe, has enough loot for us to set up sort of thing, and then move in from there. But that place is gone now because Olympus is over it now. So we had to find somewhere new. So we're in the new location now, which we're finding is relatively like successful at finding stuff. So we're getting there with that. Like I say, we're at a week in.
I've heard all these sort of, when he's playing it, they're all directing each other and talking and getting annoyed when people end up, like if he's dying on the floor and the person's just looting everything rather than helping him, he's like, ah. But they seem to be happy with it. They seem to be playing it still. So yeah, that's surprisingly, yeah. Actually, he was playing Minecraft earlier and I thought that's unusual. This, especially with it being a new season, like I would have thought he'd have been still deep into it, but that could have just been because his usuals weren't there or something. But no, he's loving it. And I was chatting to my wife about how, like, when I was his age, it was very much like, yeah, I played, well, maybe a bit older than him. I had COD and stuff like that. That's when I was probably like 16, 17 when those started becoming a thing. But I had all the Medal of Honor and that kind of game that I played on my own to build up at this point. He's quite lucky that he gets to go straight into multiplayer and have all these different things. But and part of me is like, he's missing out on, I used to play Red Alert a lot when I was his age, and the multiplayer was always like the RTS, building the big sort of armies and stuff. There's none of that now. He doesn't have any of that really that he would play with people.
Massive
sandboxes like Minecraft, or massive sort of free for alls with that. But yeah, I mean, it's different, isn't it?
I heard something on a podcast, I can't remember which podcast it was, but someone said in a couple of years, I think it's two years off till Pokemon's 30th anniversary. Went, yeesh.
Yeah, no, it's mad, isn't it?
That's one way to make you feel old, isn't it?
Oh, mate, you say that. Like, I know I talked about it vaguely a couple of times about me playing Neopets. My pets are, like, in their 20s. That makes me feel old. Like, I think my account's 23 and a half years old. So my first pet is, 23. I'm just having a quick look now. 8,273 days old, which is... I'm just trying to find out what that is in years. Sorry if you can hear me typing. Oh, it's 22.6 years. So that's absurd. A 22-year-old virtual pet. I mean, that just makes me feel ridiculous because that's still... I was quite old when I got that. the fact that Pokemon's 30 coming up. I mean, that's exciting. I'm hoping that they're holding off... Whatever they didn't announce this year, they're probably going to announce for their 30th, you would assume, and hopefully it'll be a big celebration. It'll be Generation 10, won't it? So,
I suppose.
So the 10th generation, 30-year anniversary, hopefully it'll be massive. Maybe they'll do ideally you want them to do all the Pokemon in one place on some sort of big thing. While we're on the topic of them quickly, have you seen in Pokemon Go they've updated the backgrounds and everything? Like suddenly it's had a massive graphical overhaul.
I did notice it. It seems there was more
foliage. Maps have been
foliage.
Overhauled as well. Yeah. So when you click on Pokemon now, it's like different biomes will appear like behind them and it's very high defined.
Yeah, I did actually, yeah.
The lighting's been improved. I was like, well, that's interesting. It's funny how they suddenly decide to upgrade really random things. They added in like a heal or revival button that you can just press to do stuff like that as well. It's like they've realized they should probably start making quality of life updates. It's been an interesting one. I don't even think they announced it. I think I just randomly logged in one day and was like, oh, bloody hell. Because our town is much more mapped out. There's like all these paths that weren't in the game before that are now there, and it's making me realise how tiny the place I live in is. Because I'm like, oh, that's our mate, he lives over there. Wow. It's quite weird seeing it on the map and seeing how detailed it is compared to how it used to be. I know they use the OTS. There's a website called OTS, I think, and they use that map. So someone like me would go on there and try and update it, but then it would take them like 2-3 plus years to update the actual game. It's been a cool little update.
I played. I finally played some Helldivers with people.
Somewhat, sorry, Hell.
Helldivers 2.
Oh, Helldivers. I've just Hell Diamonds. I was like, what's that?
No.
You got that a few weeks back, didn't you?
I got it a few weeks back, and I've not played it because I played like the first few games, and I was literally just playing on my own, and I'd just kind of get thrust into other people's games, and I don't know what I'm doing. I genuinely don't know what I need to be doing. I need to kind of be going into games that aren't like just people just getting on about the business, and I'm just tailing behind, just running around, don't know what I'm doing, sort of thing. So I've been playing with some friends who've finally I've got the game, and I've played probably 3 rounds of it now. I played about 2 hours yesterday, and my word, that game is fun. That game is a fun game to play with people. I don't know how much fun you're gonna get just playing solo, but having people around and just having someone to kind of sherp you around a little bit, because I was playing with somebody who's been playing it a lot and I didn't know about it. So, it's been fun. It's been fun playing and getting to shoot all the bugs and what have you, and get the upgrades through the war bond system, which is effectively their battle pass sort of thing. The good thing about their battle pass is that every time they release new battle passes, it doesn't reset. Like, you don't lose access to the old battle pass. They just stack up. So you keep working through the battle pass you're working on, and then the next one will be there waiting for you. So that they've just started the third battle pass this past week. And that one's there. But I'm working on the first battle pass now, sort of thing. And you earn the currency each time you go into a level, you come out with currency, and then you put it into the battle pass type thing and unlock weapons. And it's not all cosmetic, this one. This is the thing, there are guns in it, so there's an incentive to to do it because you can get better guns. Because apparently, I didn't really notice it, but apparently, like the base guns are kind of crap. So you kind of want to play it to be able to go through the actual battle pass sort of thing, and get your gear. So I think I'm on like page 4 now. I think of this war bond, the first war bond. So I've been doing that. Yeah, I'll probably now I know people are playing it. I probably will play more of it now. It's just fun. It's just a fun game where there is a real threat of danger a lot of the time, where you could just back up into somebody's line of fire and just get killed. Or like my friend who's got it, he's got like a weird like mech type thing, and he calls down and it immediately blew up on me. He went, there you go, go and have a go in that, and I got in it, and then it immediately got blew up, and I was like, I'm dead, and then I don't know what happened. So I genuinely don't know what I was. I just got in it, stood around for a few seconds, and it just blew up, and I went, did I do something? I don't know what I did. But apparently I got hit by a meteor, and I was like, okay. And there's fire tornadoes in it now, which apparently are quite new. Random fire tornadoes can just spawn, and then it's just like a big whirling tornado of fire coming at you, and then it just like sets fire to all the ground around you. It that did separate us a bit, because like say you just get caught into a engulfed in fire, and you have to run away from it sort of thing, and it separates you out in from the pack sort of thing. Which then makes it fun when you've got a horde of enemies you're trying to clear out and there's tons of stuff going on. But yeah, it's Helldivers is good. And the other thing I've played to completion a game this week. I played and finished Return to Grace. I don't think you'll have heard of it. It's on Game Pass. It's
just immediately going to be like, don't know it. I've seen it on Game Pass now that you're saying that.
It's on Game Pass. I didn't even know it was on Game Pass. I'm about to cancel my Game Pass is going to run out next week, and somebody mentioned that this game was on Game Pass on one of random podcasts I was listening to, and I was like, I think I have that on my Steam wish list. I was like, I could play that. Like I say, everything kind of just dropped on my lap yesterday. I was thinking, what am I going to do with a podcast, because I've literally played Like a Dragon of Fortnite, and then like I say, Helldivers are suddenly popped back up again, and I played Return to Grace, which is a walk and talk kind of game, which I like those type of games where you have a heavily, you know, a narrative story game where you're just walking around and getting the story from the environment and seeing what's going on in the world. And the premise of the story is you are a explorer, like a... You land on a foreign planet, and intentionally you are looking for grace, and you are from Earth. If I want to say you're from Earth, I want to say that you're from Earth, and you are in the I think it's Earth.
They're human. Is that what you're getting?
Yeah, they're human. But like I said, I don't know whether I assume it is. It's like
could be from Mars or Venus.
Yeah, it's all futuristic in that sense, and you are. You are coming from the dark times of Earth, like something like that. I can't remember exactly, but you're coming from a time where
you said it's set in the future. It's set in the 60s, Pab.
Is it? Doesn't tell you what 60s though.
Yeah, no, you're right. But it says set in a visually stunning 60s retro sci-fi world.
I suppose it probably is.
I mean, 60s retro isn't necessarily the 1960s.
I feel like it's a 60s vision of the future, so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah, I realized it's not... I was reading the description when I said that, and then I was like, oh, hang on a minute, it's saying inspired by that sort of
it feels like that sort of vision of the future set, you know, what the 60s had in vision of the future. But Grace is, from what I can tell, I've finished this game, by the way. Grace is an AI that they invented that went away, that just disappeared and plummeted the entire world into the dark times. or something like that, I feel like. And you are going to where this AI is set up, pretty much. And you are, like I say, walking, talking around this environment, trying to get to this space base. And you have to... You come across, like, different servers. Like Grace has been separate, has been split up into multiple servers, and each server has a personality, so to speak. So you have a logic server, a control server, a sympathy server, and then each of them have a slightly different personality about them. And they're on your, like, smartwatch sort of thing. They you can communicate with them through the watch. And then you're wandering around trying to find Grace, and you're going through all this world, and it's like it's almost like a commune when you get there. It's like a futuristic kind of commune where people all come to this place to worship Grace, and people pray to Grace, a sort of thing, to fix everything for them and what have you. And it's like yeah, it's just a really cool one of those. Also, it's like 2.5 hours long, which is I think why aren't more games like this? Just a nice, comfortable game that I can play in practically one sitting. And I just enjoyed what it was for what it is. It's fine. It's a nice little game where you are trying to find. It's almost, I don't know if it's like, it's just, yeah, it's very. It's very sci-fi, but also, like, is it not? I don't know. It's all right. It's fine for what it is. I enjoyed the two or so hours that I played with it. And like I say, I don't want to say tons of it because it's, like I say, it's a 2 hour game. And I feel like I could quite easily just tell you stuff about the game. But it's cool.
I was laughing, trying to sort of keep a straight face with you. You were like, as far as I could tell, I finished this, but I don't know about Grace. And I'm reading the brief description on Xbox before you buy it. And it's like, you've unearthed Grace, the AI god and one-time caretaker of the solar system. And you're just trying to then build relationships and solve puzzles to talk to her. But you're like, I think she's... I don't really know. And I'm like, it literally says in the description, pal.
That's the thing. I'm also trying to dance around it a little bit.
I get what you mean. You don't want to be like, it's this, and then someone points out that was the plot or something. Well, but that's how they're selling it.
Like, it's all about sort of like light puzzles in it. And there's some slight mini games of, like, you know, doing the balance across beams and stuff like that. And at certain points, you will have to merge some of your servers to create a more... So I think Control is a bit of a fuddy-duddy, like, power freak who do what he does or do what they do or did, you know, their way or no way sort of thing. So you merge them with Sympathy, and you create another server which has the power but is also friendly and more upbeat, and then you end up calling that, well, I think that, I'll tell you this one because this is the first one you do with that, you call him Pal or something like that. And Pal's cool because Pal's like a teenage kid who's like proper like gung-ho and like wants to do everything and like do that, and you're like, you're doing all the dangerous stuff and you're like, no, I shouldn't be doing that. And he's like, yeah, go on, do it, it'd be cool sort of thing. And yeah, it's a cool little game. Like I say, I'm glad I played it. And a
couple of hours, I feel like that's one that maybe I'll fire that up with
it's nothing too taxing. It's pretty much just a walk around. The only thing I didn't like is the walker speed is slow. I'm dying for a sprint button.
Yeah, that's a good tip because I don't know if I think I said that with the Final Fantasy VII demo that they had the other week, and then when I had to replay it, there was a bit where Cloud's limping around, and I was dying waiting for him to walk. And
yeah,
It does really get to me if it's just plodding along and you cannot get there the right speed. I was already a little bit like, am I going to be okay listening to it talk? I get a bit frustrated if it's like plodding along and I'm like, come on, get to the point, get to the point. So,
yeah. It does get like that at times where it's like, you're talking and you're like, I know what I need to do next. And the prompt is in front of me, but it's grayed out. It's like, I need to do this jump onto this platform, but it's grayed out right now. I can't do it until you physically stop talking. There are some things like that. He's like, okay, you're kind of getting ahead of it and you've kind of got to kind of let it wash over you and soak it in sort of thing, rather than just kind of go, okay, next thing, next thing.
Do you ever wonder why people make these? Do you think it's a playtime thing? Do you think they do this because if they let you just be like, right, oh, okay, I've got to go this way, you would do it and then you'd have missed the point of what they were saying, or the plot wouldn't line up right, or would the game suddenly be half the length? You know, like I always think that with lots of games where they make you sit through an animation and you're like, my god, what did you not? Did you not get a single person with ADHD to look at this game? Because I am dying. I
sometimes it's just people have a vision and they want to tell their story, and you know, I mean, if they let you, you know, kind of skip dialogue and jump, do this, do that, and the other thing, sort of thing, and then it doesn't, like I say, it's not part of what their vision is of what they want the game to play like and feel like.
I always hold two games up in my head as like perfect examples of getting it right, and that was when GTA 5 let you skip a mission if you failed it more than like three times. It's like, yeah, sack it off, let's crack on. And Last of Us, where you could just tap a button and it tell you which way to go, but they added that in. I know it was like a visibility, like like a blindness setting for people whose eyesight wasn't as good, but it still just saved me a lot of confusion and faff, just being able to go bang, show.
I don't think there's anything accessibility wise that you're going to struggle with on this game. I think it's just the pace and the...
Yeah, well, I was like, artificial slowness. I don't know what it is, but it is something that just hurts me.
It's not painfully slow.
Okay.
But because it's like, you're so used to just... Well, especially me playing Like a Dragon, it's just like, press A, sprint, go. And it's just like, the game is a much slower pace than that. And I feel like that's the intended purpose, and you don't need to sprint through things, because you will miss things as well. There's I think I've got like 750 achievement points of the 1,000 that you get the gamer score, and there are things you can miss in the game, and there are different things you can do in the game. I'm curious enough for me to play it again, but there are things that I deliberately didn't do. And I imagine that's going to tick my gamer score up for me doing this instead of what I did, and sort of thing. So I don't know how much of a branching path there is in this game, but you could theoretically have a different ending to how I ended the game. But I also think it could be a bit Walking Dead sort of thing, where you'll branch off at some point, but you'll end up back at the same point. I don't know, but yeah, it also has an ending there where you're like going, okay, you kind of like, you're left to your own decision to what happens next, sort of thing. You can think what happened, you know, from then on. But it's cool. It's a cool game. Like, it's on Game Pass, and I don't think it's that expensive, to be fair. And it looks amazing. It's a very pretty game. I don't know if it's Unreal 5, but it wouldn't surprise if it was. It's very pretty. But yeah, other than that, like I say, that is me done for this week. It was looking like thin pickings for me until, like I say, yesterday when I just realized it was on Game Pass. And
I get that sometimes. Like, do you know what, the amount of times over the years, this is ironic, where I'll think, oh god, it's slim pickings, I should play something, I'll find something, I'll grab something and play it, really enjoy it, and then I forget to review it on the podcast. And that has happened too many times. Too many times to note. But I think maybe I need to dig in and do some of that this week ahead, because as we touched on, it's us again next week. Kev and Anna are still away. You had a very good idea, perhaps suggested that we do a shout out for some listener questions. So if anyone has any questions they want us to answer on next week's podcast, if we are slim on games, obviously we'll like we just said, we'll do some bits and bobs if we can and see what's out there, really. Yeah. But having stuff to answer would be cool. So yeah, chuck some questions at either MGUK podcast or at RB6K. I feel like I've just started doing the outro unintentionally there.
You,
so
if yeah, you want to chip in with yours, the intro.
Yeah. But yes. Where are you, Pab? Where can I find you?
Oh, yes, I'm at Pab1986.
Cool. So we will be back on next week. You were done, by the way, weren't you?
Yeah.
I didn't plan this outro.
You kind of rattled into it. I was like, this is perfect. You did it.
And then I absolutely derailed it. I'm back on the rocks with this boat. Captain Sheepdog into the ground with the airship now, apparently. but yeah, no, we'll be back next week. Thank you very much for listening, folks. And I'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening, folks. Bye-bye.